socks.
Socks for life.
Exactly.
Socks for life, you know? She comes up with the expressions.
Yeah, she does.
Socks for life.
I mean, is it psycho or is it just great planning?
I'm like, why are we out here? Because they love the game.
No.
I do not want to hit a little white golf ball around.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Henny and Hallie Can't Quit Golf. How are you doing, Hallie?
I'm doing well. How are you, Henny?
I'm very well. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the Augusta National Women's. You know what? Watching the amateur girls play and being in the studio for that, I was alongside Zane Scotland, who I played junior golf with, and seeing how much they loved it. You know, no matter what happened, it just really had me thinking back to junior days and the days of starting golf and just that like pure joy for the game where you just couldn't wait to get yourself to the golf course and just see how was it, Dave. And then that evening I would be in my room with a hairbrush, like rehearsing swings and practicing, like I would hold everything in golf grip. It would just completely saturated my mind. And it's really nice because obviously a lot of amateurs feel that way about the game, but as professionals, when you've been in the game for a long time, you completely forget all those feelings and you're just like, ugh, golf. Can you remember back to when you first started and what were sort of your feelings?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I can for sure. I remember just, you know, after school spending hours on the range and well, hours until it got dark. I say hours, like
hours for a kid.
Hours as in multiple, as in more than one. And I remember my hands getting, you know, when you're starting to bang balls and your calluses start building
up.
And that they don't talk about that is like a very painful few months, but it's kind of like a pride thing.
I was
like
going to say, it's also very prideful.
Yeah. A necessary onboarding process, like the building of the calluses simultaneously with the building of the sock tan. I was just I'm joining the club. Here we go.
I'm a golfer now.
See how dark I can, see how much I can get this contrast between my feet and my calves. But I remember being out there just like, you know, grinding away. And when I say grind, I mean like topping mostly and then, you know, occasional solid one and then feeling like, I just couldn't wait to get out there the next day after school. And I just think that, you know, goes back to what you said, that beginner's mindset of just really loving the process, because you know that the scores aren't going to be that great. You've only been playing for a few months or a couple of years, but you're just so, so excited to get better.
Yeah, it's funny because I've found that again recently. I didn't touch a club for 2 years. I was pregnant and it was the pandemic. Then we moved house and then my belly was just getting bigger and bigger. And then having Kaya, I just haven't had time until now when she's walking and is completely obsessed with golf. Like wherever she is, she's holding at least one golf club and a ball. And so I took her to the driving range and I hit some shots and I expected nothing because it's been 2 years and I flushed it. And I was just so in awe. I was like, yes, mommy still got it. Like I was so happy and just left the golf club absolutely buzzing. And I just got those feelings again of like, yeah, I want to go back and see how it is in the golf course. And there was no getting bogged down with swing thoughts or anything like that. And I feel like that's something that the best players in the game still have. Like when we spoke to Colin and we asked him, hey, wanted to quit golf? And he's just like, no, I've never had.
And we're like,
golf. Yeah. And I think that's, I'm Buddhist and we talk a lot about beginner's mind and approaching each day and each thing with a beginner's mind, which means when you've seen something super mundane, but that you see it every single day, but that you experience it as if you're experiencing it for the very first time. Like, for example, right now, my dog's cuddling me like he does every single day, but just taking a moment to like, enjoy his warmth and his fluffiness and how nice it feels and his breath and how calming it is. And so that in Buddhism essentially is a description of beginner's mind. And it's been really nice to have that reminder with Kaya, because just today she stopped and looked at this flower and she was like, whoa. And like we were studying the flower and like I never would have stopped at like cool flower or whatever. But actually I was like, yeah, that's super cool. And that bee, that black and yellow bee that buzzes and flies, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm seeing all these things through her eyes, which is incredible. And then it, again, I'm sort of seeing golf now through her eyes and through fresh eyes of my own and seeing that again. So I feel like I've refound this joy. I think my strap line over the last few years has just been like, I hate golf, whatever. Da, 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 da. And now, like, almost like the Billie Eilish of golf, like, I don't care. And then now, recently, I'm like finding it all over again. And I'm full golf nerd. I can't wait to watch things. I've been really enjoying it and loving it. And it just got me thinking so much about mindset and how you really can control it. And it does change everything, and it's so crucial in golf because you're out there for so long, and how you respond to the negatives as well. And I always say with Tiger, one of the bigger things, the most underrated things that I've seen since being around him, is his ability to just let go of days or rounds or shots that don't go well is really second to none. Like, sometimes he'll come in from around and like he's so angry, and I'll be like the next day, you know, oh yeah, so how long did it take you to calm down after last night's round? Da, da, da. And he's like, yeah, no, I was fine. Just didn't think about it. Did you want to like go out and practice? And he's like, no, it's done. Today's a new day. It was just a day. And I wish I'd had that more when I was younger and playing on tour and not got so wrapped up in like, I had a bad day and I have to go beat a ton of balls. Cause I feel like that just started the downward spiral of where I got to with my relationship with golf.
I agree. I mean, obviously you got to spend so much great time with Tiger, and I like his mindset is second to none. Obviously his physical talent is off the charts, but his mindset is something that, you know, I'm sure we'll be studying for years and years to come, because it really is just, he's the, you know, the poster child for having the, you know, the best mindset when it does come to golf.
Sorry, I threw a lot at you there, from like bees to flowers to dog cuddles to Billie Eilish. Somehow made it into my monologue.
I loved that, Henny. I thought that was really great.
I love it. All right. There is no good link to our interview guest today, because I've taken it so many different places. But one other athlete with an incredible mindset is Dr. J, Julius Erving, the slam dunk champ, the NBA MVP and champion, and legendary Hall of Fame basketball player. The list just goes on. He's now an avid golfer, though, and Hallie got the chance to play a few holes with him. We really hope that you guys enjoy our conversation with him as much as we did.
Dr. J, welcome to the Henny and Hallie Can't Quit Golf Podcast. We are so happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
So
that's an inside joke. Right?
So Dr. J and I got to spend a little bit of time on the course before this, but we have so much to talk about. I mean, I don't feel like our three holes was near enough. So My question for you off the bat is, how would you describe your relationship with golf?
Well, I'm a beginner. I mean, I keep starting over and over and over and over. It's kind of like, you know, that movie about the 51st dates.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So that's what's happening with me. And I try to keep it fresh and say, oh, I'm getting ready to play golf tomorrow. Ah, I'm excited. You know, I'm getting my rest and my preparation and go out there. And sometimes the shots look like I'm just starting. So I have an excuse for those shots now, because yeah. You know, if you're forever a beginner, There is no end.
So talk to me a little bit about how you came into the game.
A couple of people, one team physician for the 76ers, Dr. Stanley Lauber, helped introduce me to golf. I used to play with him in his club called Philmont Country Club in Philadelphia. And Albert Taxon, who was really a good friend of mine, a restaurateur, had a restaurant called Bookbinders. And he was just a great little player, short and compact, and he could hit it a long way and whatever. And I always wanted to be like Al, but I was more like Dr. Lauber. and both of them are gone now, so God rest their souls, but those were the guys that really introduced me to golf.
And initially, were you hooked, or was it something you could have just kind of take it or leave it?
Well, you know, I mean, it took a little time to hook me. But my first pro-am was in that first year, and I went to the Greater Hartford Open. It was actually, at that time, it was called the Sammy Davis Junior Tournament. And I was invited, and my agent called Spalding, and they sent me a set of clubs that met me in Hartford. And we were introduced to one another.
Were the clubs long enough, though? Because you're a tall guy.
They were long enough. They had pretty good specs on them. But, you know, all I could hit was the 5-wood. I mean, and I nailed a 5-wood out there. You know, people were lined up. People on the left, people on the right. You know, they thought a pro was hitting. So then that ball.
In your first
that
year?
That ball curved and hit this guy in the chest, and he went down.
Oh, you hit someone?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you were hit a great shot.
No, he went down. He went down. So I had to go over and, you know, sign the ball for him. I'm just starting. I'm still a rookie.
Uh-huh.
And he's okay, it's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right. Just don't sue me.
But you also mentioned we were out in the course that you had some success very early as well. You had a hole in one, right?
I did. That was year two.
Okay, year two. So the first year you were hitting people.
Knocked the guy down in year one. And then I got a hole in one in year two. That's when I was hooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Knocking that guy down didn't hook me.
No.
I mean, but the hole in one, yeah. Riverton Country Club.
Wow.
Riverton, New Jersey. McDonald's outing. September 25th, 1989.
2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Now, I'm always really interested in the crossover between different sports and how athletes view their sport differently, perhaps in playing golf, or view golf differently. How does one feed the other for you back when you were playing?
Well, moving away from basketball, when I retired from pro basketball in 1987, I was looking for an outlet that could be competitive, that could be a learning curve oriented. And I knew I would have to have help getting there. And I felt like I didn't really want to run and jump and slide, play on pavement or anything. So tennis and golf became the options for me. At least that's what I thought. And I tried to learn both at the same time. And I'd already been playing tennis, but you know, that became a little tough on my legs, tendonitis and stuff like that. So golf was kind of easy on my body. And I didn't realize till very late in golf that, you know, when you're hitting the ground constantly with that club, the ground hits back.
Mm-hmm. So
you feel it in your hands and you feel it in your wrists, and you know, I might feel it in your shoulders, collarbone, what have you. So the ground hits back, and you know, but so far I'm still in love with it. I enjoy it a whole heck of a lot, and looking forward to getting back out and continuing our match. We only played three holes.
Yeah. And we'll get ahead of
what was the score
next time.
All right.
For sure. Right.
What's the score through three?
The score through three.
I had
one
two
over.
Bars and a bogey.
Yeah. And I almost holed out on the last, Henny. It was a snap. Yeah, it was a good shot.
Yeah.
It was good. Nice. I will take credit for that one.
You seem to have a very measured, calm, sort of holistic approach to life in general. And I think all those things sort of embody golf. Was golf really a natural, very natural fit for you? And did that sort of aid your retirement process?
I held on for a long time. And when I made the transition and I decided that I wasn't going to play anymore, I had already compartmentalized it and kind of like packaged things up. And, you know, each day I was giving basketball 4 hours and giving my office 4 hours. So out in an normal eight-hour day, you know, four were applied to my craft and then four were applied to where I wanted to go.
Hmm. And then a little bit after, then, maybe some chipping after
that.
And
then there was some chipping and putting.
Yeah.
And then there was time for golf.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, being one of the greatest basketball players of all time, was it a bit of a rude awakening, or was it uncomfortable to be a beginner at golf? Or was it, did you embrace that challenge? And did you like the fact that, wow, you have so much room for improvement when you first started?
I knew it was the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember playing with Jerry Rice when he was just starting, and he said, man, I'm gonna be a scratch golfer. And I'd been playing a few years ahead of him. And I was like, okay, everybody says that.
Yeah.
Everybody says that. And he's pretty good. He got the single digit, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody starts saying, yeah, man, I'm a I'm gonna be a scratch, and they don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
because that means you're almost perfect. You're perfect when you, you know, plus. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realize it's kind of like I always liken it to playing the guitar. I've played golf for a long time, but a lot of times I forget how hard it is to be a beginner. You know, like sometimes I'll go hit balls right-handed because I'm left-handed and I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is really challenging. Or, you know, like when I bring up the guitar analogy,
yeah.
I attempted to play guitar in middle school and it was so hard. And I had no idea until I actually attempted to learn to play the guitar, how hard it was to play guitar. So that's like so interesting when people don't realize like how much skill and hard
work to be
even decent at golf if they've never tried it.
Yeah, it's amazing if you're born with certain things and, you know, jump high, run fast, catch. I mean, there are certain things that are gifts, but you still have to develop them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you still have to get some instruction from somewhere, inspiration from somewhere. And then you still got to do it, and you got to do it over and over and over again. And, you know, that redundancy of doing it over and over again, that's where you lose half your audience. Mm-hmm. And some people say, I don't want to do the same thing over again.
Right.
You know, I don't want to go out here and, you know, make 1,000 putts. You know, I don't want to shoot 1,000 jump shots.
Right.
Whatever. So some people aren't cut out for it.
But do you like doing that? You like the repetition and putting in that work?
Well, I embrace it. I embrace it, you know. But some days I don't feel like doing it.
I don't feel like doing it either.
You know, when I was starting and I was going through the, you know, the beginning phases just to learn what the daggone game was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I got thrown in the fire real quick with pro-ams. You know, I mean, once somebody finds out you're playing, because then my clubs met me in Hartford, and the next thing you know, I'm down with standing at Ray Floyd's house, and you know, he said, "Swing hard in case you hit it."
Yeah. I like that.
But I saw a lot of friends in the golf world, and you know, in golf, it's like a magnet. It was really, really big in my life. I mean, it's probably as big as basketball, but in a different way.
In a different way.
You know? Yeah.
You get nervous in pro-ams?
I did. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. I mean, I kind of don't care what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's like that first shot with you. I mean, I knew you were driving by a bunch, but
you crushed it.
I wanted to get in the fairway.
You hit a great one.
Get it in the fairway.
Drive under pressure.
People are always encouraging me.
Yeah.
And I just keep saying, just let me move up one more tee box.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the tee box rule.
Yeah, I like the T-box rule. I'm all about moving it up. I don't have an ego when it comes to that. When you talked about, you know, putting in the work in basketball, the 1,000 jump shots, or in golf, making all those putts, and you really embrace having to put all that work in, is it ever frustrating, or have you gotten frustrated to the point where you're like, you want to quit golf? Have you ever had a moment like that?
No, I haven't.
That's good. I wanted to quit, that's good.
Yeah, because I knew I'd just be fooling myself.
Right, because you know, well,
guess this is me time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have 4 sons and 3 daughters. I have a lovely wife, and I have multiple jobs, and because I have multiple companies that I'm involved with, and I have a brand to, you know, keep out there and keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
So golf is like me time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit on myself with my me time.
That's fair.
Something else.
Yeah.
don't let me quit golf.
Yeah.
Now, if it's taken away from me, you know, or whatever, or health, or or whatever, that's another thing. But I'm not going to voluntarily quit. That's just like, I don't volunteer for surgeries anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. So basketball is a very reactive game, whereas golf, there's a lot of time to think. And a lot of professionals will use something like football or something like basketball in the sense that there's no time to think. It's pure instinct. Do you think that maybe works in your favor on the golf course?
I think it would be terrible in golf if every time you got ready to take a swing, somebody was hitting you or slapping you or defending you, or they were in the way.
That would be a whole other element.
I mean, I mean, there was, if these barriers were put up and you know, the course designers have put up those barriers with the sand traps and with the mounds and with the trees and the woods and the lakes and the streams, you know, the different things that, you know, you get penalized for if you go into them. Mm-hmm. So instead of offense, defense, you know, the course is playing defense and you're on offense. And I think you should use your 15 to 25 seconds. You know, I mean, guys who really play fast, step up and hit it and whatever, and they're good at that, mm-hmm. more power to them. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
So I need to kind of go through my routine and I don't let it get too lengthy or whatever. And it's probably about 15 seconds. I mean, I think, and you know, just standing behind the ball, seeing where I want to hit it. I've already made my club selection and get up there and calm everything down and just kind of try to swing freely. And that's not a reaction. That's a coordinated effort to deliver a swing that replicates my practice swing and that does something that I've done before. So lots of times when you're in a reactionary sport, you have to do something that you haven't done before.
Right.
You know, because they make you do it. I mean, you know, you're trying to go over here and they block your path so you spin or you twist or jump in the air or fall down on the ground, whatever. So, yeah, golf is not like other sports in that regard. I mean, I think it's, you know, they always say golf is a lot more robotic than other sports. And those golfers, they're just like robots out there. They're just like machines, you know, they keep doing the same thing over and over. And then if you take the pulse and you take the neck pulse or whatever.
Which they started doing on the broadcast.
And you see, you know, how much it rises and lowers with.
There's a lot going on in there. Yeah.
A lot going on.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's nothing robotic about that.
Would you liken maybe a golf shot to a free throw in a way, in terms of like a mental process ahead of hitting the shot or throwing the ball?
Well, I mean, I think the putting part of it is very much like free throws. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a repetition, except, you know, free throws, mm-hmm. you shouldn't have the same target, the same distance mm-hmm. all the time. Putting, you got turf, mm-hmm. you know, you got plane, you know, you got, I don't know, speed of the green, and the break in the putt, the grain. I mean, so
there's a lot more factors.
So you're actually going to school on the greens, and the more you know about that, especially if you don't have a cap, the better you're going to be, and the more efficient you're going to be.
For sure. I do want to ask you, what is one thing you would change about golf if you could?
Well, the penalties, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, nobody's officiating, so you're self-officiated, right? And make the playbook and the rule book as simple as possible. You know, that'll keep things moving, and I think it can promote a lot more happiness on the golf course.
Just simple rules, like 5 max.
Yeah. Like the scoring, you know, we discussed it a little bit earlier. Yeah, if you can, based on handicap, you know, just max out on certain holes. I mean, 12 and 13, 14 are ridiculous. And, you know, when you just play, you know, straight up golf, where you're playing final score.
Right. You like the cap it at like a double bogey or triple bogey and get out of there.
If all the golfers in the world could break 100. That would be pretty cool.
I agree. That would make it well really fun for sure.
Yeah.
Dr.
Set it up with
thank
Barry.
You so much right. for your time. Pleasure. Really, really right. enjoyed it. Absolutely. And we'll hope to see you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
Bye.
You.
So before we react to that interview, I have a reaction that you played him for a pair of socks.
Yeah, I don't know, Henny. I just saw the socks. I liked the socks. And I was like, how can I get those socks right at this moment? And so I challenged him for the socks and it really paid off. I mean, I performed under sock pressure right there. Like I hit like one of the best shots of my life into the green and the pin and ended up making a birdie for the Sox, which was great. But then I was just so overwhelmed with joy that I forgot to ask him to sign them, because who's going to believe me that I got Julius Irving socks unless I get them signed? So right. Luckily, you guys can listen to this. Henny and I were able to meet up with Dr. J a few weeks later, and I got him to sign the socks. We got Dr. J here. Dr. J and I played a few holes at his course, Rivermont, which was awesome. It was in beautiful shape. Yeah. And I knocked the socks off Dr. J. Won his socks. He gave me his socks, which I have here today, because I want you to sign them for me, because I forgot to. I mean, Dr. J, what am I? No one's going to believe me that these socks are yours if you don't sign them.
You keep talking about it, though.
I would be like, these are Dr. J's socks, I swear.
Are you known not to tell the truth?
No, I tell the truth. I always
thought you were like a
truth.
Cool, honest.
I'm very cool and honest. Person. Absolutely.
Dr. J, you know, do you have a contention to the socks?
Not at all. Not at all. I gladly gave her the socks. She birdied the last hole.
I did.
I parred the last hole and birdie beats par every time.
These are the socks on your feet.
These are the socks. They were on. I got some new socks now.
We've got some new red socks.
Some red socks.
Those are some very nice socks.
You just like the NBA logo.
I do. I mean, these are pretty fancy. These are pretty fancy.
You know, as an NBA alumni, they don't send money, but they send merchandise.
Socks for life.
Exactly.
Socks for life, you know. She comes up with the expressions.
Yeah, she does.
Socks for life.
Yeah.
So with a great British accent.
Socks for life. Socks for all.
Exactly.
That's fine. I want a rematch.
Okay. Anytime you want. I'm down. Let's do it.
Lake Nona, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, yeah.
You know, I was a member of Lake Nona for like 7 years.
I know you were.
For 7 years. So, you know, we have history. I have history with her dad. And you know, she was a little kid outside playing.
I was going to say a little rug rat running around.
I just play around that
and
hole.
He saw
Come
me
on,
when
coming
I was a
in,
kid.
Coming in. What was it, like 7 or say 16?
16.
16, yeah. 16, 17, par 3. And
yep.
And 18, we have to go by your house.
Yep.
You know, little rug rats out there running around. They're on the seesaw. You know, they had a little boat to go out in yep. Lake Nona.
Yep,
whatever.
Exactly.
I was like, they had a nice life.
Yeah. You know?
I gotta work harder. I gotta work harder. So I got my membership, and then years later, she calls me.
The little rugrat steals your socks.
She calls me. She's all grown.
Beautiful. And I stole the socks.
Yep. Got cool people running with her.
Yes, I do.
So how could I say no? I mean, it's just like, take the ass whooping, Julius. Because you know what? Dad's a teacher. Must have taught us something. So I knew I was in trouble right from the beginning.
Yeah.
But it all worked out.
Yes, it did. We had a great time.
Friends, right?
Yeah, now we're here.
Friends
now,
for life.
I'm following you now. I'm going to show up at every event.
Follow me from Georgia to San Diego.
Yeah. Exactly. We've been talking to everyone who comes through about their best and worst moments in golf. Mm-hmm. I think that might be.
This is definitely one of my best moments. Absolutely.
Stealing the socks off Dr. J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What comes to mind
so
is your best or
1989. So I started playing golf in 1987. And I play really poorly, considering I started so long ago. But in 1989, September 25th, it happened. Mm. An 8-iron, 148-yard shot, downhill, Riverton Country Club in New Jersey. Bounce, bounce, in the hole. Second year.
I'm hooked. Second year
I'm
as well.
Hooked. Second
Some people
year.
Wait 20 years for that.
Some people wait forever.
Yeah, yes.
And it doesn't happen. You know, I didn't even smoke cigars then.
Was that a cause reactivity? Now
it's like, if I get another one, light up, be cool, you know, take it all in.
What was your reaction?
Whatever. Did that go in? And it was 4 players and 2 caddies. Because we were playing in a McDonald's tournament, believe it or not. And on 2 holes, they had money. And then 2 holes, they had trophies. So I hit on the trophy hole. So I got a trophy.
You still have it?
Of course I do.
Okay, good. Just
of course
sure.
I do.
All right.
Of course
filled with
do.
Socks.
Well, I need you to sign my trophy before you leave.
Let's see how you do this. Let's see.
Yeah, have you ever signed a pair of socks before?
I've never signed a pair of socks.
I think you might have to put it on a hand.
I've actually signed bra and panty, but not socks.
Wow. Thank you, right. Dr. J.
They are signed.
Love it. Maybe I have another whole one today.
Hallie, I love that you took the socks to the golf day specifically to get him to sign them, just to complete and go full circle. My next question is, where are the socks now? Do you wear them on the regular, or are they displayed only, or?
So they're in a drawer currently right next to me, because I haven't figured out how does one, do I frame them, obviously. But I just don't know.
You could just wear them regularly and enjoy them in a weird way, or wear them to bed, or like have them be your house socks. I mean, you earned them fair and square.
My house sock. I do get very cold feet at night, and I have to wear socks to keep my little toesies warm. Oh, so maybe Dr. J socks will just become my sleeping socks.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. I do have to ask the question that everyone's going to want to know, is that did you wash them?
I haven't washed them at all, but he only wore them those one time. So did I take a sniff? I did. And they still smell fresh. So
you're wrong. I'm really weird about wearing other people's things. So for me, that's like, but yeah. I know many people who would be on your wavelength there. So
yeah. So it's either I'm getting them framed, or I'm going to wear them to sleep every night. So I'll let you know where I end up on that.
Please keep us updated. Hallie, I really enjoyed our chat with Dr. J, and listen into what we were talking about earlier on in the episode, and that his mindset, and he can still considers himself a beginner golfer, even though he loves it and he's been playing it for years.
Mm-hmm, me too. And it made me go back to what you said in the intro about how you went and hit some balls the other day with your daughter, and you were just absolutely, you know, loving it. And, you know, you're like, oh, I've still got it, and had that joy. And I think it was last week. I don't remember the last time I did this, Henny, but I went and practiced my chipping. That was a wild. I know. I was like, am I practicing chipping right now? Is this a short game session? But it was really fun. I put my headphones in, threw a bunch of balls down, had my, you know, my two wedges, hitting them high, hitting them low. And I was like, this is pretty fun.
Sounds like junior days. I love it.
Yeah. So I think we can all take a lesson from Dr. J, in the sense of, you know, however long we've been playing this game, whether we are actual beginners or we are many, many years into it, just continually reminding ourselves like that we are so lucky to be able to have the opportunity to play and practice, and, you know, look at everything with a beginner's mind.
Absolutely. Enjoy the good shots and smell the roses as we walk.
Yes.
All right. Well, guys, let us know. Keep in touch. It's been really good to hear from you. We'll be answering some more of your questions in the coming weeks. But let us know some of your experiences with either getting frustrated or bringing it back to junior Hanny and Hallie style of chipping and going to the range and enjoying it. So keep us up to date. I'm at Henny Coy on socials.
And I am at Hallie Led.
And we will speak to you next time.